Good morning, colleagues, and good morning, local organizing committee, the CEO, the shepherds of God, and the team as a whole. Thank you very much for coming. The department is here. I think we should start because we must have enough time for the presentation and some discussion. That's when I'm sure that the chairperson of the board is here also. You are able to take us through on some of the challenges and you all take us through in terms of preparations, technical level, the state of readiness. Because it is about the state of readiness. How ready we are to host the 2013 AFCON. And they have, of course, hosted one before and one in. I think also, of course, Nongkonyan, in your capacity as South African also, you guarantee us whether you are winning it or not. That one is important from, we tell us whether we are winning this. We won the last one when we hosted, surely we shouldn't lose this one. And they must give us the comfort that we are on track and we are preparing it. And then we are preparing it as we prepared World Cup. Everything is in place, technical arrangement, the logistical arrangement. Everything should be in place really now because the kids are starting next year. I'm told in January next year, and therefore, that's why members of the committee felt very strong that we should have a general briefing and then take us through, take their time. Members will raise some of the issues that they want to raise. And then of course, Nongkonyane then will assist us to comfort us whether we win this game. It was very critical that we must win the cup. We must remain here. Cora, in fact, was indicating that it's going to be entering if we want. We can't fail to have January. You're welcome, colleagues. I think it's important for us to start with our meeting. And of course, there are players who died. I think is the team that is in the one car accident. And then all of us are expressing our condolences to the family. I think they were young players, promising players. And then car accidents, you know, are causing a lot of problems for us. With us, Tommy. Now these four bears, also there are four bears that passed on, that are injured, and all of us we will ensure that the committee, the right period, expressing his condolences to the families of the players. I think that's what we will do. And we should proceed then with our apologies, if they are in apology. And civil show the committee an apology. Honorable Tube and Honorable Romisa. Of course, Honorable Member Romisa really is a stating apology generally. He likes sport a lot, but he couldn't attend all the meetings. And then he's very busy with it also, but also I think he has really expressed this to us. We have accepted that apology for Romisa. Member Tube is not well. He's not feeling well, he's encountering, not well at all. And then we wish he had no speedy recovery. Any apology? Yes.
No, Chair, it's not an apology. Is that she also not a brother, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think those are things which are also contributing. But before the LOC grant, I just want to raise the issues which are raised here that week. So that we don't raise things in different absence. We send an invitation to the LOC. I think 4 weeks ago. And that day before the meeting, there was an apology that is here is in Lesotho. And to us that's not acceptable because there's supposed to be a program for the NOC. They're supposed to know in advance when they are going there, and this issue of parliament should be treated with the necessary respect which it deserves. We can't have a situation that the day before the meeting will receive an apology. I just wanted to make the point. But it was raised that I want to raise it again. Yes. Yes.
Chair and honourable members and distinguished guests, well, I say, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, Chair, thank you for the invitation to the African Corporation South Africa 2015 before Parliament, and thank you again for receiving us in the manner that you have received and welcome us here. And thank you from one of the choral to express the sentiments of the community before we give to the United. I think first of all, we want to introduce the meditation. As you know, I chair the Board of Trustees. You see now the decision that we have not changed the winning formula for 2010. Namely that one of the vice presidents of AFA should have to head this structure. It happened to be myself this time around. And it should compose of the board people. And it should compose of ministers, that is, representatives of the government, as well as business community, as well as civic community. We have not changed. We are going to see in after the issue. That we have not changed that meaning. I am with our CEO, who has been mandated by the entire board to make a decision on behalf of us all. I'm here for the course of governance issues and operational issues. So the past talks with me on governance issues and my decisions is not with me. So we are in a way all here. He's not new in this sport, for as you know, in manner. In his young days, youth as he was, he formed part of the sport movement at an early age. And he politically became part of the community, so he understands the terrain very well. But as you know, we formed the National Sport Council, the NSC. It was one of our until we then transformed the structure to the presence of sport. After that, he was elected as the Secretary General of another international body called the Super Council of Sport in Africa. I'm happy to say he has been re-elected last week. As the Secretary General goes on 16 years, the Council of Ministers for Sport. So we then appointed him as our CEO of the Government Committee, and the President of his team. We are with Paul Blue, Hepatin Movies.
very much colleagues, and I think first and foremost, on behalf of the board, I'm also good to this committee, and I'm for sure this committee that we respect this committee. We won't do anything on the mind the integrity of authority. When we were coming here, the DOD indicates that he did convey our policy, but it looked like there has been some confusion in his office that actually managed to that ambition in this event. And I can assure you that we are very dead. Again, we've been told that when we know that we have actually sent you to the mediation in time, because that we respect, so that at least when you come here, because we have read the highlight issue, and I think twice again, that unfortunately, I think that we continue to break down the on email. I don't know, but just I hope you have a copy by now, but we were told on this one that there will be copies. Both of that, unfortunately, we must really apologize for that. Okay. And as I say, Chair, we have got a lot today. I can assure you that the board is functioning well, and the administration of the court is functioning very well. We are really on operation mode, and we are actually aware of the enormous possibility that lies on us, as I indicated in all forums. And we hope that the World Cup is beautiful, and we obtain an undertaking. And we are going to do 2050. We don't want anything less than that. In terms of preparation, in terms of actually being the friend of South Africa. And it is critical again because it was time for voting. And we then decided with us, with the federation, that this time around, because we have the infrastructure of politics, we have expertise, we must have change. In 2013, they will take our business to the then it's part of the contribution to Africa and what they've done to this country. Now that was clear. And so with those figures, I want to make sure that we move to make a decision that I say on behalf of all of you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable members of Parliament, I tried my best to hide in the pain yesterday, but the Chair did tell the officers to go and fetch me wherever I was trying to hide, that I must sit next to him. Again, just to echo the sentiments of the Chair, that we really apologize. There was miscommunication, because I was out of office that week, the week before, so only arrived last week Wednesday, and the only phone on Monday, but I get us to echo the sentiments of the Chair. We'll never undermine this committee. For two reasons, that one, it is our line committee that we account to. We are very clear about that. And secondly, I think that the sports people, we know that when we are here, we are at home. So if we are happy, we'll come here. Equally, if we have got a pain, we'll come to this committee to say we've got pain. So we can never do anything to undermine it. Honorable Chair, I think that we did come here earlier in the year when we're still part of OSAFA, if the honorable members remember, before the committee was fully separated. So really this report is to update the committee on our preparations. At that time we were talking on broad issues. Today we are talking about how far we're gone. The honorable members remember that we did indicate that it's going to be a tough ask, because you normally need 3 years to 4 years to prepare for this type of tournament. We're only given 9 months, but we still said we'll do our best to ensure that we don't let the country down. I think that that commitment from the board and the staff of the LOC is always uppermost in our minds. Honorable members will remember these are the objectives that we set are the objectives that will guide us. And we remain true to these objectives. One, to ensure that we deliver high-quality events that you as South Africans are accustomed to. I'm sure you saw we tried our best with the top. I think that the report we received is that South Africans are really to blame about the draw. Secondly, is that we must reposition South Africa and in the African continent. Just using draw as an example, for the first time in CAF's, from our report, in CAF's history, the draw was carried into Europe, into Arabic currencies for Al Jazeera. It was there with Eurosport and so on. That is the best, that we've got such big networks carrying the draw. That's the confidence that people have around this. And obviously our task is to get the nation content behind the event. I'm going to talk about that very soon. As well as look at how do you enhance the football brand. And we'll talk about what are the things we've done so far to try and improve the standards of these tournaments. To create a platform to enhance brand South Africa on the continent, and at the end of the day, deliver some money for SAF. We said that our main critical success factor is going to be full stadiums. And I think that to us is about that. The rest is really logistics issues about the success factor. And I think that if there's one message that we want to leave with the committee, where we need everybody's support, is to make sure that we do everything in our power to make sure that the stadiums are full. I think that's going to be the main issue. And then I think for us in terms of SAFA, we need to have a legacy that we create for SAFA in a much more direct way, both in terms of opportunity to build capacity and expertise at various levels of football. And we've taken a deliberate attempt in this area that we do this in various forms. One of those, for example, is that when we're looking for team line officers, we deliberately went and looked for the past legends of football, and we appointed them and trained them to the team line officers. It's our way of saying we are deliberately going to try and create various capacities in the area of football. We did say what the governance structure at the time, it hasn't changed, that we are the African Cup of Nations 2013 organizing committee, which has got SAFA as its shareholder. Obviously, we report to the CAF organizing committee, which ultimately report to CAF. At a provincial level, it was obvious we did share at that time the structure at a national level. At a provincial level, CAF has the following structure. They will have a general coordinator and the various areas where they will have in terms of that. We then mirror that with a similar structure from our side, to make sure that there is a mirror image of our own structure that deals with that. Then in terms of the institutional governance, we've got the board, which have got subcommittees, and then we've got the CEO, and then we've got the operational side, as well as the commercial side of the company. Members of the board, we've got 28 members of the board, which constitutes of the chairperson and myself, plus nine honorable ministers, eight honorable ministers and one honorable deputy minister, Tantanene, which have been appointed by the president of the country to serve on the board. Then we have got 13 members that have been appointed by SAFA, who serve on the board, and then from sport, civil society and business, we have got the president of SASCOP, Mr. Gideon Sam, Mr. Zwelinde Mavadi from COSATU, Mr. Hepin Chingila, who comes from SASCOP, two businesswomen, Ms. Tumele Dlamini and Ms. Noreta Fagude, and from the SAPC, Mr. Saudi Mzone. So that is the board that is running Africa Cup of Nations. We have got six committees. I see the one is not coming out in this. The whole city forum is chaired by under the Minister Baloyi. Finance and procurement is chaired by another Deputy Minister Ndandahene. Audit and Risk, Ms. Ntapo. Human Resources, Mr. Tumele Dlamini. Marketing and Communications, Dr. Dinto Dan. The one that doesn't appear on your screen is a ticketing committee by Dr. Oliphant. The budget that has been revised after the announcement by the Honorable Minister of Finance has been revised. If honorable members will remember, when we came here, we talked of a budget of about 423 million rands. We've now revised that because we now know the exact figure. And the budget now is going to be 335. The government grants, you see, have dropped from 205 from the amount that we initially requested. Yes, the question may be asked, are we going to be able to deliver this tournament with that budget? Our approach, the chair, as the board have said, will still deliver this tournament to the standard that South Africans expect. Yes, there may be areas that we have to tighten the belts and obviously elaborate that the way we would have wanted it, but can assure the country that we're still going to do a good job in delivering this tournament. The income, where is this income going to come from besides the government grants? We get $6.2 million from CAF, which is the 20% of all money that CAF has raised. From the ticketing revenue, we project about 17 million rands. Of that 17, 25% will go to host cities, and some money will go for operational costs. And then we have now got CAF receipts, their commercial and merchandising rights. We hope that we're going to raise about 7 million rands through that process. And then from sponsors, another 8 million rands is expected. Then coordination with government. Government have established three committees that we have. We've got the Interministerial Committee, which is chaired by Honorable Balula. I think it consists of 14 members of cabinet. We've got the Director General's Forum, which is constituted by those 14 departments that have been regarded as African critical. And then after that, we've got the Government Technical Committee that looks at the government operational plans and making sure that we get the support that has been done. All government departments that have been identified have developed their operational plans. Five of those have now signed their guarantees. The other outstanding ones to sign the guarantees have promised that they will sign their government guarantees by the 20th of November 2012. Honourable members will remember that we launched our ticket sales on the 26th of September. And that phase ran up until the 24th of October. That phase was characterized by that we offered up to 20% discount on those tickets that were available to members of the public. The phase that started on the 25th of October to the 20th of December, the ticket sales are up to 10% discount. And then from the 22nd of December, we will pay full price for the tickets. The response we've received from the public has been phenomenal to a certain extent, in that most members of the public have agreed that the ticket sales are really affordable. That's not a matter of debate. And I think we've been very comfortable. In our first phase of ticketing, because obviously it was our test phase, we knew that we are not going to get a lot of people buying tickets, because they didn't know at that stage which countries are qualified, they didn't know which countries are going to go to which cities. But we still said, let's launch the ticket phase, and we expected 10,000 ticket sales to be sold by the 24th of October. We're surprised because by that time, when we closed on the 24th, we had 19,966 tickets sold, which was almost double the amount that we had expected. Currently, we are selling ticket sales at a rate of about 1,200, 1,500 tickets per day. So at least if they take that, we've got 6-7 days, if we continue at that rate, we were not doing badly, but we want to have that a bit. We know that it's going to be a rush for the end of November, and people are going to rush in December when they've got their bonuses. But obviously, we'd like to make sure that we can get as much ticket sales as possible. We target that by the 20th of December, we should have sold 350,000 tickets, which is 70% of a target of 500,000 tickets to fill the stadiums. I was explaining to the chair last night, if I'm allowed to say what I explained to the chair, is that people will ask, what is the difference between ticket sales and ticket fulfillment commencement? Currently, we're going by your ticket to get a reference number. If you go through the call center or through the website, we give you a reference number. Or if you're going through the selected spires, you'll get a voucher. That's not your ticket. That's a voucher for you at a particular time to go and collect your ticket. That's done for various reasons, besides the issues of technology and so on. But it's also a way of us curbing the way of people trying to produce fraudulent tickets. At this stage, even myself, I have not been shown the tickets except the specimen. In AFCO, in the LOC, the only person who knows how the tickets look like, it seems only the chief of security, plus state security agencies. One person from state security agencies, plus the company that's producing tickets. So even if you can't, you say, please show me how the tickets look like, I can't. So the only time you're going to see the tickets is when people start getting the fulfillment from the 1st of December. So only then will people can, if they want duplicate the tickets, only then will they be in a position to start duplicating the tickets. And we think that we'll close that area of the grey market to make sure that we've done that. We started with the hostages to deal with targeted mobilization. In fact, we met with them on Friday to look at some of these issues. And now they're starting to look, well, they now know which teams are going towards cities, and they are now going to start looking at their own mobilization plan with their own tourism boards to get to try and mobilize the markets at the various cities in those various countries. But also engaging SA Tourism to help us to offer travel packages to both people who are outside the country and people who are inside the country. The ticketing system that we have is a two-pronged ticketing system. Firstly, you can buy your ticket, which is your voucher, at selected super spas and spa outlets. We know that this has created quite a lot of anxiety, and understandably so, because many people just do not understand the selectedness of the pass. They just go to any spa. And unfortunately, from what we've been informed, spa has got about more than 800 spa outlets in the country. Which then means that people just have spa, so they'll go to a spa and want to buy tickets. And now when they don't get the tickets back, then they believe that we are missing. Actually, it is selected spas. In fact, about 2 years ago, we issued an advert in all the national newspapers to show them where the actual spas are, that's where you can buy the various tickets. But if that fails, the preferred route also is through a call center. Because we were very conscious that not every person will have a spa next to them. So irrespective of where you are in the country, you must be able to buy tickets. So you can buy your tickets through a call center. All you need is a phone. You phone the center, you can buy a ticket for any game, not different from the person they've gone to a spa. And through your phone, you are going to get your reference number, from which that reference number is then going to connect your ticket. So I think that is the message we have not communicated effectively. Because when people think of a call center, the only thing about it is a center where you phone for information. And we've been asking our marketing people that they must look for a different name instead of calling it a call center. Perhaps we call it a ticketing number or something like that. And communicating that in the next week or so. So that people can understand that actually, even if you're sitting anywhere, obviously, we do understand there may be areas where there's no phone access. Then we are also limited. If there's no spa and no phone access, then it's really limitation. But we believe that this system that you can buy your ticket through any, if just access to a phone, and you must have an access to a cell phone number, because the reference number will be sent to the cell phone number you would have given us to say, I'm buying insurance, so here's my cell phone number. Your reference number for that ticket, every ticket is that one. And that is to us the most critical thing. And obviously, if you've got access to the website, you can also buy it through the website. So those are the three areas where people can buy their tickets from. It's not only just from the spas or from the selected spas. You can buy your tickets from any of those three centers. And the system works on time. And that perhaps when we do have time to share at some point, we will be more than able to take members of the portfolio to go and see the various centers where the even call center in Midland, where you can see it works on time. As you buy, we have got a portal in our office, the full portal. As you buy your ticket, you can see that so-and-so bought a ticket at a particular spa in this area, or you bought your ticket through a call center, and it is for this game. So everything is on time. It's quite very good technology for ourselves. In terms of hospitality, we've created hospitality packages. The average hospitality package for the opening ceremony and the game is 2,995. for the group stages, which means all the group stages, including Bafana Bafana games, except the opening games, is 1,500. And the quarterfinals is 1,700, semifinals 1,995, and then the close game 2,995. Now, before I just move from this point, the question has been raised, perhaps we need to clarify, whether when you say you've got a ticket for a game, that means because we're using, especially the first two rounds of games, it's two games being played at the same venue. We've been asked, does it mean if I buy a game for Bafana Bafana versus Morocco, does it mean that there's no game on my squad? No. Who is the guy buying a ticket for that game? You are also entitled to the second game. You are not buying a different ticket. And I think we've tried to communicate this in your group stages. That ticket that you buy, you are buying it, though you may be asking for a particular game, is for the two games that are played in that venue on the same day. That's what you are getting. The same thing with hospitality is for the two games that you are buying for that particular game. In terms of human resources, at this stage we've had 62 staff members that have been appointed at head office and provincial structures. In fact, we're busy with interviews this week to deal with bulking up at a provincial level to make sure that we are in the state where we get into full operational mode. We've been very assisted by various sitters. We've got 142 interns that will be placed, 27 in each host city and 34 at H2. In fact, half of these interns are already in place. It's a very good program, thanks to Ken Sita and Sasita, that have really helped us. And these young people that have been in there have been a marvel to us. Some of the things the Honorable Chair that see on the board, though we've got a professional agency to produce that for us the look and feel, but the actual slides and everything, the graphics, we've got three graphic students that pass graphics. All our graphics now are done by them internally. We don't have to go outside to get a professional agency to do everything. So it has been very good for us with these young people working for us. And then the State Security Agency has really been helpful to us with our pressures, as I said, from the financial point, the secondary accreditation managers to work at HQ and to also work at the venues, which has helped us, which means we don't have to employ these people. And I have to say that SSA has been very good. For those of you who might have attended the draw, they ran other accreditation system for us. They produced the software themselves, they ran it with their own personnel, and it was very good for us. We didn't have to hire a private company. We relied on our own to make sure that it works. In terms of procurement, when we came here, we did promise that we'll try by all means to make sure that we target small business people as well as SBDE. And we are looking for a minimum level 3 contributor to this effect. In June, we did issue out a request for information so that we can create a database. We got a response of 2,402, of which 2,401 they qualified with the stipulated requirements in terms of that. And our procurement services, at the moment, our procurement system, we believe it's in compliance with MFMA and PFMA to make sure that we deal with all the relevant government-related issues. But obviously, adopted to meet our own project requirements. Insofar as the tournament operations are concerned, we now have allocated each team a particular hotel and a particular training venue. As you can see there, Bafana Bafana will stay in Langeni. They'll be training at King's Wellington Stadium. Cape Verde will play in the Protea Gordon Garden in Mshanga, etc., etc., etc. But it's not just that we've located them in various venues. In each hotel, if you go today, Chair, you can go there without us and ask them, where is Bafana Bafana staying? We'll actually go and show you the floor they're staying and the rooms that have been located and where they'll be eating. That's how much detail we've given to this. Why at that stage we've done that. Our security forces have gone, have scooped it, they've told the hotel exactly what must be in the room, what must not be in the room. We've finalized how those hotels and floors will be secured. So we're at that stage now, we're just at a point where the teams have gone to most of them have gone to inspect their own hotels. They've been to inspect their own training sites. They've given us their comments where they want us to adjust. So we're busy adjusting as per their requirements. This is the match schedule, honorable members. we'll leave this with you. It's just showing you what are the various games that are being played at what time. Obviously, the big game is on the opening on the 19th. At 4 o'clock is the opening ceremony. At 6 o'clock is Bafana Bafana Raiders Cape Verde. And we've got nothing to do with that fixture. It was an open game. And then Morocco plays Angola afterwards. Yeah, I think that the most important thing for us is that EFF has been very happy with how we managed to make sure that all the systems are in place. In fact, the chair will remember when Seychelles, they gave us a standing ovation. They said, within 6 months, we can't believe that a country can be in a state of readiness the way we've been ready. Even now when they came for the door, many of them expressed that they know that they're going to be a wonderful tournament in South Africa. So we hope we'll see all honorable members with their ticket in hand on the 19th of January at Soccer City to cheer Bafana Bafana on. In terms of competitions, as I said, each team has been allocated a particular training site, and it becomes that dedicated training site for the duration of the tournament, whilst they're still in the tournament. So there's nobody else who will be training that with them. So they will decide when they want to train, how they want to train, so they can't say, no, when I got there, the other team was doing this, or somebody messed up, and there will be security in there. If the special project that needs to be done, it will be between them and the security officers on the ground, if they want to go into some special project. Each side is fully equipped with basic requirements as required by AF, in terms of team benches, goal posts, portable hose, corner flag, and front lights that meet the minimum requirements. We've tried to make sure that each host city at least has got a training site in the country. It's one thing that we insisted to all the cities that it's a requirement, and most of them have responded really positively. In fact, all of them have responded positively in there. Where we had problems in terms of the sites not being on standards, the cities that come on board had made sure that they upgrade the selected venues appropriately. I think, for example, we had a problem in Nelson Mandela Bay. They've now upgraded, really finishing it to make sure that it's of that level. With a problem in Bombela, they've now busy with the training site in Kwapokweni to make sure that it's of the level that's required. It's something that we promised when we came here. It's something that we've insisted on as we go forward. All match venues combined with the tournament requirements, 4 team dressing rooms, 2 referee dressing rooms. We are glad to say that there was very little required in this area, save in Rassenberg, where they had to do the 2 extra dressing rooms, because they did not have adequate dressing rooms in that particular one. This is just a slide that shows that where the games are. In terms of accreditation, we have really tried to make sure that we received most of the accreditation. We're busy with that process of screening people, but we've said that we know that we don't keep on asking, getting requests for accreditation, but we really want to say that from where we sit, we really want to close accreditation for South African consumer groups, because we need now to go to the international people, so we don't want to finish the South African. So I think that it's a very critical component for us, because we don't want to put the state security agents under pressure, because every person who needs accreditation must be screened. We know that this normally becomes a big problem when you say everybody must screen. People say, no, I'm sorry, and so I went for government, I don't need to screen again. And you say, no, for the accreditation process, you do need to be screened again, and everybody then must go through this process. Insofar as safety and security, we do have net docks that was actually activated in May already. They meet every single week to look at all operations in preparation for the tournaments. We have got an agreed security concept between us and them. It's much more in detail. And at this stage, we are really comfortable with the LOC with what they've put together. We think that it has not compromised anything. You will see exactly what you saw during the World Cup, or even more. Where they've lessons learned in the World Cup, they've adjusted accordingly. So we are going to see that we will deliver that. All participating member countries will be under protection from the time of arrival in South Africa for the duration of the stay. And we've emphasized this to them. We've said even if they're coming for pre-training, though there's no requirement for us as the LOC to provide them with anything, but when they arrive even for pre-training, we'll put them under our security forces protection up until they leave the tournament. Accommodation for CAF, the FHQ is going to be Tenzin Sun Hotel, and at the various cities is going to be Durban Sun Coast Hotel, Les Mandela Beach, Radisson Bay, and Pombela and Notwini, and Rambe Cascades Hotel. And the referees, which as you know is a very touchy subject, because of all the things that are happening around the referees, match fixing and so on. We have used the same concept that we had from the World Cup, where the referees will be quarantined, if that's the right word, I don't know the right English word, or secluded in a particular hotel where the board has got access to. And of course, Irony Lodge in Centurion, even the chair of the portfolio committee will not have access to the referees. For him to have access, we have to go through a lot of screens to get to that country lodge. And from there is that where they leave match day minus one to go to the city. They will be under escort from security forces to make sure that they don't have contact, even if they're in the plane. We'll make sure you don't have contact with the members of the public, because we don't know what we exchange in that plane. Up until you go to have that match, you go back to your home base, you will be quarantined as a referee. You will get freedom when you finish after the tournament, then you are free to contact. I think it's an integrity issue and credibility issue. Have you with this approach? You met the reference coordinator here, went and invested and saw the hotel, saw their training facilities, and gave a thumbs up and said, this is the best arrangement they've seen. It's not different from FIFA, so people mustn't think about doing it for Africa. It was exactly the same arrangement that we had during the World Cup, where referees were quarantined and there was no access for members of the public committee to have to be in touch with them. I've said that the members of the participating members will be accommodated in separate hotels, and the have approved this with a distance of not more than 30 minutes per member to their training site and to their and to the stadium. And LOC staff that will be supporting the PMAs, which is your team liaison officers, the team security liaison officers, drivers and the medical, will permanently stay with those teams at the hotel. So there's not going to be an issue to say, no, my driver got missing because they went home to sleep. No. They will be there permanently with those teams to make sure that we give them full service. We don't want anybody to say Bafana Bafana won because of Chief Mabonyan instructing the drivers to go on strike or do something else. And then in terms of the members of the media, we have identified media hotels which are separate from the team hotels, as well as the various commercial affiliates, those have got identified hotels. In terms of transportation, all CAF delegates are allocated, will be allocated at appropriate level of vehicles for the duration of their stay. The same thing with the referees, they will have adequate referees at the hotel, at Irony Lodge, as well as when they arrive on match day minus one, they will have their own ticketed cars that transport them. Then member countries, each team will be allocated a luxury coach, a luggage vehicle plus a sedan for the head of delegation in each city. Air operations, we have finalized this, we tested it during the final draw at Durban, and I think that we now in a stage where we're busy fine-tuning whatever lessons that we learned, but by and large, CAF members showed that we're happy with the arrangements that were done. Yes, there may be one or two issues, but that was the essence we learned from that. And then we know that the people from head office will have to go to each tournament, to each venue, and we are using charter flights to get there. And the reason for that is that we have looked at both cost and convenience. If we're putting these people, 52 of them, through a commercial flight, it's going to cost us more. But secondly, we know that if your game is in Bombela, these people are staying in Transpac. The game is about 11 o'clock at night. We do not have a late commercial flight that will take them back. It would have meant that we must accommodate them in Bombela for the night, put them on a commercial flight in the morning, they get a job, they change, go to the next game, and their fees are settled. It would have been just too costly and inconvenient for everybody. We believe that this system worked both cost effectively as well as out of the issue of convenience. In terms of the final group stages, obviously the teams then have to be flown from one assigned city to the other, and obviously they get knocked out to start the ICRAS process for them to leave there. We had a very good discussion with Home Affairs, that all the land borders, I think there are about how many?
Seven.
Seven land borders have been activated as official entry points for the tournament. You will get the same service you would have got at WAFTIA if you arrived through the plane. So I think that we are ready for both fans, CAF delegates, teams, referees that will come through those systems. And we're comfortable with what we've seen there. In terms of medical and health services, Department of Health and our own department have finalized the detailed plans for health and safety requirements. Each member that is visiting the country must bring a yellow fever certificate, as well as they must bring a medical insurance in case they get hospitalized. This has been signed in the agreement with CAF, as well as with the various member associations. So I think that the part is covered. So government has also said that obviously we give the emergency treatment at the site, then you get transferred to a hospital for treatment. We've identified in each city which hospitals will be preferred as areas of treatment, which the department has kindly dealt with that. Insofar as each member country or a CAF hotel or a reference hotel, each one will have a medical treatment room and where they will receive the initial treatment. But also, as you know, that nowadays there's a lot of things that happen when players are either in training or, as you know, we do have, God forbid, we not have the same problem during treatment and accidents. But every team will be allocated an ambulance 24 hours a day with a life support system in that ambulance. So when they go to training, there will be an ambulance full life support. In case the player collapses while training, there will be mechanism to revive the player, do anything, besides whatever will be at the stadium. Each main venue will have a doping room as required, and will have separate treatment rooms for players, spectators, and VIP areas. We do have the relevant disaster management systems in place, both in terms of treating a few people who collapse, but also in case there's a mass problem, or we have to ask people to leave the stadium, and we've got a big problem, those areas have been identified. And both the health services and the defense force have got their systems in place, because if there's disaster management, the defense force takes over that responsibility, and then they will have their own personnel and dedicated areas around each and every game. Volunteers, we're looking at an average of 500 volunteers per city. When we issued the application on the 29th and on the 19th of August at the close of 20th, we're only looking, because that was going to recruit 2,500, we're supposed to get about 5,000 people. Actually, because that's how much South Africans are enthusiastic. We've got 26,000 applicants that actually applied for the volunteer program. Obviously, it's a good problem to have, because we're planning for 5,000 people to be screened. All of a sudden, we have screened 26,000 people, which has delayed a little bit our volunteer program, but we're going to start training the volunteers next week. As far as marketing and communication, we do have a clear marketing plan that revolves around various aspects. Our theme is the Be It Africa Suite. The messages that are coming through now is be part of it. In fact, our main thing, we always say that everybody must just say Akhona Yethu as chair when we open every session of comment. We must ask the speaker to say AFCON and members must say it. So that everybody owns it. But the AFCON is ours. It's nobody else's. It belongs to all of us as Africans. I will come now to the look and feel. We do have a look and feel that we have agreed with CAF team. We celebrate Africa, and which is the CAF team, and then the LOC sub team is the Build Africa Suite. So you start seeing, as you can see there already in your slide, we've got the boots there, the football boots kicking a ball. As you can see, if you look at it, it's on the left, we dribble you, we dribble on the right, you open up your legs, we give you a shibobo, and then you score. That is the essence of that graffiti that is in there. So that's the Build Africa Suite. You see this in blue, you see it in brown, you see it in green, you see it in orange. So it will be dressed in various forms. The various cities have been allocated colors of the theme. The city of Durban will go with the blue color. The city of Mbombela is going with the orange color. The city of Nelson Mandela Bay is going with brown. And the city of Rustenburg is green. Obviously, Johannesburg, because it's only opening and closing, they will use red or any of the other colors. We're not giving them a dedication. One of the things that we've also asked, because this was one of the complaints that we have learned from the World Cup, is that there was no incorporation of the provinces in the city slogan. So if you can look at the first three, one out of us, we've asked Johannesburg, Bassenberg to change theirs. You see that it's Mbombela, Mpumalanga province, Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, so that at least the city and the province are identified in the process of their own locals as built up to tournaments. We had also through the Sports and Recreation ran a program where they want to identify, where they identified sports for South African sport teams and events. So what we did was then to ask them to say, let us use as AFCON be the first user of that mascot. Obviously, it doesn't look exactly like this, but it's the same mascot dressed differently. And this is the mascot that we have now agreed with, that we're going with for the tournament. You should start seeing, we're now building the costume. It takes about a month from the time it was launched. So after the 24th, you should start seeing the mascot coming out live in the various public spaces in each city, and I'm sure Parliament is still open. It might visit Parliament during that time. After the last following campaigns, HIV and AIDS, they've united against malaria. They've got the African Union, their partnership with them is around peace, and they've got the One Goal project around education. In terms of what is that event, I've talked about the final draw, which was attended by 2,000 guests in Durban. We've got 100 days countdown that has gone past. We've got sickle cell activations. We had flag raising ceremonies last week in the various cities. We are doing Nelson Mandela Day on Thursday. We had AFCON week last week with the Interfaith Heirs at Freedom Park, as well as in Rustenburg, which was really quite good that we put, we asked through the various beliefs that they must pray that AFCON becomes a successful tournament come 2020. In terms of the remaining, we've got ticket sales activations. As from Thursday, we're going to go to the various host cities to go and inspect and look at operational events, firstly as managers, then the first week of December, the board will go and visit the various cities. We have 45 days countdown coming up. The Football Fridays will launch by the Minister of Sports, and then the various host cities are starting their own mobilization plans as well. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, Chancellor. Does anyone want to add on your team? Very Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I indicated that one thing for all of us, we want to give an opportunity to the members of the board to the question of the field so far. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Okay, so our members and let me invite you to the line.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Coach Mangonyana said this put in his input. The administration is well oiled. To me, that looks like that. First, you were supposed to be here on the 6th. We did not make it as an apology. I said that. We are here on the 13th. But we only get this document this morning. To me, that's the point. The other is no. Secondly, the issue of tickets. We talk of call centers, but to me, if you listen to Mshobanena, you've explained the issue of SPA. But it's not enough. Every house in a village has got a radio. Why don't you go to radio? Because you don't have this bar shelf, which we had in 2010. And to me, it's a concern. I know that we are given the link. But you said you want it, and we will deliver it. So we can't have any excuses if we said that we are going to deliver it. Your board And you've got 20-something members on that board. Very bloated. I count women on this board. It's Nomsa Mashangu, it's Itumela Dlamini, Bakude. Then you have these ministers. Don't you have female people who are capable of serving on this board? What each and every event is the same board members. Can we also speak about the remuneration of these board members? How is it working? The country, you talk about the legacy of this. How is the country going to behave about this, around this thing? If we talk about certain countries, how are they involved? If this is an African thing, and how do they benefit out of it? Is the private sector involved in this? If they are, how much are they contributing to? Or are they contributing? Volunteers, we talk about volunteers again. We had volunteers in 2010. What happened to those volunteers? Do we have a database of our recruiting volunteers? Because to me, if we recruited and we trained in 2010, then we've been perfect. So I will throw that investment away. Can you explain to that? So can you just pass it? I've got some articles I think. The last time we went there, myself, Lee and Fuzi, you say you had another group. I hope that the way how that film was really, really, really. I was so sorry there were foreign chiefs there, president there. And this is the stadium. And you know, during the day of war, that stadium was well looked after. But now, I don't know what is happening. Let me stop there.
Okay. No, I will allow one member and allow the team to, what I think, call it raise thousands of questions. All of them are very exciting, but as we just said, I know that there's no state that I'm losing. We are playing hard at them to pull up that data.
Let me just take the most difficult one. I think the first one is the question of the board and the gender balance and everything issues and things like that. I think the first point that has been raised by one of the callers is the question of voting. This matter was considered. We wanted small board, but it required that it's critical that the key sectors should be there, and we couldn't. The best that we could do in circumstances was to do what we agree with you. If we had a way, we would have limited, but. The point that we're making is that in principle, yes, but under the circumstances we're compelled to have that number. Again, in view of the time, we didn't have the last lot of time, we had to make sure that we were so many hands. And then, secondly then, there's the question of women. Yes, we were concerned. The constraint, again, is around transformation issues. will be the Federation itself, the National Executive Committee of SAFA, where what that woman was the elected officer, that was the only one from the elected pool. That is. So on that basis, then the feeling, the principle from SAFA's side was that from the elected people, let us make sure that we're sensitive to this issue. She should go there. And I must say, is one of the capable members of the National Executive. No, she was part of the African Women Organizing Committee. And so that is a constraint, number one. I take it the same constraint from the department and from the government side. Even blind ministers, yes, some are women, but others key happen to be men. But because of the need to have these strategic ministries in there, take it to government was also concerned as we are to do the best which has done. And so that is the situation. That is why therefore we had to compensate when you go to the business, that it takes majority being women to try and compensate that issue. On the media front we had no choice, it were happened to be men go. So they are hitting the key and critical strategic section. But the point you have raised, and the point I'm not, we share with the members of the Honourable Court point, but we have to do tests and processes. And then last one, the question of remuneration. The board members, we don't have executive chairperson, so chairperson is not remunerated. Board members are not full time, they really do voluntary work. And I'm happy to say that the executive meeting yesterday, we received a recommendation from our finance committee that in view of the cuts, even the allowance of board members, will not be provided for. So will not be provided. It's near zero because it's not money. So that is the recommendation that is there. And we said to the leadership, we must embody the circumstances, we must also show our passion for the country and to do that. But should there be any what we call gain at the end, it may be considered how they are compensated, but for now, no. Then the other issue was the question of the legacy for the country. Yes, as demonstrated by our presentation, when we host, naturally, we must leave a long-lasting legacy for the country, with the infrastructure, the administration, everything else for the country. But again, when we host, we know that country there to benefit because it has come to the country. And again, when hosts, we have those people in the administration as the CEO, correct for it out. We take people that we invested on them in 2010, so that at least they also form a part of the administration. We went also to up the administration machinery of staff, even in governance as well as in administration. So clearly, we want the legacy to be there, and again, to improve the image of the country. Because, again, we all know the condition of the Libya and the people before our independence. And clearly, to show our appreciation and our gratitude to them, we had to come at very, very short notice to do what we have done. And again, the hosting of the World Cup in South Africa, we would like to use that experience also to improve the hosting of the African Cup of Nations. As you know, the last African Cup of Nations, we were concerned about the entrance of the stadium, marketing and everything else. And hence, you later, you will say, well, it's daily to us. Very, very important that each and every seat must be occupied. So, in terms of the legacy for the country, It is the money that you have put. Thank you very much again for your put it and to revise the budget and the state president. I mean, the president of the republic had to prioritize in the state of the nation address. You know, our minister is really very, very assisting in this regard. We're very, very impressed. You know, so clearly we are very, very glad. I think it is going to put the country. Is one of the countries that are proud Africans, as it were. Then the other one, okay, no, I'll ask the CEO to deal with the other, but on the first one, about the oil, oil machinery, yes, I still maintain. We are all human. And hence we humbled ourselves later on to say we're sorry. And I want to say we're also sorry again. And I did have been this unfortunate incident because fortunately I remember myself, I know, it's very, it's not nice to ambush members of parliament. You know, members of parliament, myself, president, I think may have you all started with before, you come not to blend yourself, all your staff, blend your country. Your new party, okay. Hence, we upfront say we're sorry. Say again, we're really sorry. And but you know, not understood that it is a result of malfunctioning or dysfunctional of the administration structure. No, it is just about is you know, technology. You think that you've done everything, and it happens that you didn't do it. But the CEO will have something on the rest, and he may come in on this one that I've said to make our point.
Yes, Chef. No, I will not comment on that. On the issue of tickets, Honorable Kwai, we take your points. In fact, I've been on the floor several times on the issue of tickets. Almost every week, we're on the various radio stations explaining the issue of tickets. But we're at the point now of producing actual and adverts, because sometimes when you rely on PR only, the message doesn't get through. We'll be finalizing an advert. In the next 2 weeks, that advert will be on various radio stations on a continuous basis. But it's not a question of those people that only listen to the sports programs that have got the benefit of knowing around the issue of tickets. On the issue of volunteers for 2010, it is going to be a combination of 2010 volunteers and volunteers. For first reasons, that I think that as a principle, we need to refresh. Well, there's younger people that come in that they finished that were not there in 2010. So we can't close those people out of the system. We need to continue to refresh our own database. But secondly, the reason why you have to call also is that people that were trained in 2010, yes, the country invested in them. But we did not put in our contracts that they're obligated to volunteer. So you still have to ask them to volunteer again. Because if you phone them directly, then they say, no, but you're now asking an employment process, because I did not volunteer. So we needed to be very careful and call again. And then now when we screen them and we see that this person was in 2010, then we know that we don't go through the screening and the training process. But at least the person would have said, I want to volunteer, as distinct from us calling them directly. So we do have that database where we can cross-reference against a particular issue. Yes, the issue of the stadium, in fact, it was initial license, and then the city said to us they will not be able to upgrade it on time. And they came to us and they said Zwide in August. We've been there almost every, our provincial office goes there almost every week to make sure that they upgrade. We'll be going there on the 20th, personal alarm going there to go and see that stadium off and gone to make sure that it's in a state of readiness. So it's an area that we are looking all the time to make sure that it's ready and receive the comments from the city itself. Thank you.
I will not going to go back to the volunteer question because I also had it in mind, and I'm happy that the way I was also going to ask the clarity. The response is actually that talking to that there will be a mixture of the new and the old volunteers. So I'm comfortable with that one. But my next question is a question of opportunity that the LOC has for our ordinary South African citizens. I remember when we were hosting in 2010, we had such an expectation that after the tournament, we'll actually have reached out to a number of ordinary citizens that could actually benefit from asking, hosting. I don't know if maybe we can get a exciting story to say, maybe this time, because we are now hosting an African tournament, what are opportunities? Because I think that time you had so many limitations and stringent measures to say you have to hold this and that and that. And what is it that we can actually, at the end, remember even our African brothers and sisters when we were hosting. They came in numbers and they assisted us. It was almost an African hosting continent. But now because it is ours, what opportunities are there so that we can actually hear that really when we talk about this, because everyone is excited, can even see with the sales of the tickets that we said that already there's 19,000 and above. So what opportunities are there? And another chapter and question that I wanted to ask is the question on the secondment or deployment from other departments, government departments. I wonder because in our 2010, there was a secondment, but we still feel that, especially when they meet us, because now we are in portfolio committee, they would say, please, when you are there, try to talk to the organizing committee on the way we were treated when we were deployed or seconded. Seemingly, we would like to hear, have you made your own assessment whether were your secondments from a government department effective? Because seemingly, the treatment to me, they did not actually get the treatment that maybe they were expecting, especially if they were not volunteers. You just take officials from government departments, put them there. But when you manage that, the management, the human, what do you call it? You have your correct registers for, you know, human resource management. It wasn't up to scratch. It seemed as it was somehow treated, made in a shady manner. So I don't know what improvement have you made. And the last thing is on your stadia overview. I think on the stadia overview, you just said you gave us the map, and on the map you repeated maybe Royal Bafokeng twice. I wonder whether it's Eastern Cape, we have the Royal Bafokeng, because to me when I was looking at the considered Eastern Cape, you had number 5 at Royal Bafokeng, and also there up there number 3. Is that? I don't know whether it's a mistake. I was in my document. Thank you, Chef.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the LIC team for their presentation. I do want to just say again what Honourable Cora said. Gentlemen, when we do get these documents and their financial implications, we cannot possibly study them while you're making your presentation. So we can't be effective in our oversight when we do this. So I have to reiterate that point as well. It's crucial that we get these documents beforehand. Right, let's just get on to the thing. I'm going to talk about 4 issues that I don't think have been covered. Firstly, is the event going to be organized under the auspices of the new Safety and Sport and Recreational Bill, an events bill? If you will recall that at the FIFA 2010 World Cup, that was promulgated soon after the actual hosting of the at FIFA's insistence, if you remember correctly. So I just want to get clarity on that, because that's very important. The second point I want to bring about is this. I think this is the crucial issue here. The money that you've been allocated is $205 million from government. What I would like to know are the following 3 things. Number 1, is there any money from the cities over and above that $205? Or is their contribution in the $205? Because I've received a document recently, a parliamentary document, that indicated $15 million that government had given, which was for medical and ambulance, at a $3 million, I think, the city, another 125 million approximately towards us. So this extra 65 million which I'm seeing, I don't know if that's part of the cities or if it's extra, but I'd like clarity in it, because possibly government is then not giving 205, but it could be higher if the cities are coming in. I think that's very, very important. The other thing is that I think the LOC needs to understand very clearly, we as a committee are continually under pressure financially, and this money here that government is giving is approximately 25% of our entire annual budget to run sports effectively in this country. And so there needs to be a deepening sense of that the undertaking that you're giving to the nation, that is cost effective, is in fact cost effective. Because it begs the question, if there is that money around, and believe me, we're all for the tournament and we support it as South Africans 100%, but it begs the question that if there is this type of money available, we'd love to see this type of money available for other events, other codes as well. But I'm putting pressure on the gentleman to ensure that it's a success. Right. The next point is that you indicated that if sales go at the current levels, you will probably be at 70% be sold out at the start of the tournament. My question is this. What provision have you made in the event, and I hope, I mean, the unlikely event of Bafana not making the knockout stages, Bafana? What impact could that mean to ticket sales? And have you put that into your budgeting? Because we obviously are very concerned about that. And then just touching on another thing that Honourable Cora said. He looked at it from a different angle, but remuneration. If I look at this budget, gentlemen, I see that under the expenditure, remuneration is some 38, almost 39 million rand. That equates to some 12% of entire turnover. Now, that's a big, big number. And I'm just wondering if you have a more detailed breakdown as to where those funds are going, because that's a heck of a lot of money. So I just want to bring that up. Thank you.
Okay. Let me invite the team to answer this.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'll deal with the concern about the volunteers of the government from Honorable Lanner's question. And I will take, on the events, under the events team, I think it's now an act. And now I've asked Mr. Name then to deal with that. And then the rest, our CEO is going to deal with. Fortunately, Chair, I also served all the late as a board of the Super President LOC. And I'm as friendly in here that it is for the first time that I hear that there has been this concern. Clearly to me, you cannot help people that are serving, that are discriminated against RMT or to touch shaping. And it is unfortunate that it has not been brought to our attention as before. I have no doubt that it has been. But in view of the fact that these things, I can assure you that as far as we are concerned, in fact, even if it was brought to our attention, then we would not have allowed it. We cannot allow people who are serving from government, from anywhere else, should be treated so that they can actually give utmost best for themselves. That is all I would like to say around the issue. Thank you. Thank you. On the event issue, that's it.
Yes, I can confirm that the event is being organized under the auspices of the new act. We submitted an application to the South African Police Services for risk categorization of the event in June already, and the event was classified by the police. The weekly meetings of the NATO are also convened
in line with the provision of the Act, and we are going to use, by and large, the same standard operating procedures that were used for the World Cup. So all the provisions of the Act are being applied in conjunction with natural areas. Thank you.
Just in addition to that, also we have applied to TTI, I think the Gaza should be out, in terms of the Protected Events Act, as well as on the Declarations Act, to make sure that we also got in line in terms of those two acts. Then, so far as the opportunities, Honorable Sunani, let me just ask, I think the chair of the board with me, about what we think are opportunities that we have tried to create, because all we can do is try to create. We'll be very committed as an LOC that first and foremost, the issues of SMMEs and black business in particular must be paramount in our approach. The ticketing system we're talking about is a South African-based ticketing system. We did not bring it from anywhere else. It's a small company called Etude App that came and made a bid with all others. We believe that they've got the best technology compared to anybody, big or small, in this country. And we believe we created that opportunity. For example, I'm just using that, is that we went and created that. Even our approach at a provincial level, where they talk about catering, we talk about stewards, security at stadiums and so on. We've deliberately said we give preference to the city, to the company that come from the cities that are hosting. That is our approach in creating those opportunities. Obviously, I think that there's a limit of us creating that. That's one of the things, for example, we started to engage the cities to say, those things that are under our control, this is what we're going to do. You now need, as a city, to make sure that the city that are under, the things that are under your control, in this partnership, please make sure. One of the things we've started to engage with them is to say, please make sure you start engaging your hospitality industry as well, because we know that the fan, the character of the fan that's coming, is different from the character of the fan of the World Cup. Secondly, unlike the World Cup, where we call them nomads, the team were nomads. They were based somewhere else, they just flew to the city to come and play. For 2 weeks, you're going to have four teams based in your city. Please make sure that you as a city engage with various countries, engage with that fan, create opportunities for the hospitality industry in your area. Create entertainment targeted to the to those people. It's useless to put cultural or food and whatever things that are not targeting to the four teams that are based in your area. So that's all we can appeal from an else. I don't know. From an other side, we can only appeal to the cities and provinces to take this into account. And it's one of the things we are going to be inspecting next week as they give us their operational plans, whether these issues really have been built down and there have been engagement around local communities. Let me cite a simple example. Was a thing that I want to put Bafana Bafana aside. We were saying to, for example, to Mbogela, we know that we have got Nigeria, we have got Zambia, we have got Ethiopia. These three have got very big diaspora in the country. You need to start to think around that. Think about where are these people going to be coming from in the country? What is the transport mechanism? On the day of the game, the game will finish at about 11 o'clock at night. What is the expectation? Are we creating opportunities for people to stay overnight in the cities? We know that Nigeria will play Ethiopia on the last game, not in Mbombela, but in Randburg, which means we are going to have this traveling group of fans to go to Mbombela, to Randburg. We are saying, now, have you spoken to Randburg about all these issues? So we are trying to get these opportunities created in that way by really highlighting to the cities and provinces what are the opportunities so that they can communicate the opportunities accordingly. And I think that it comes also to start to deal with the issue of the unlikely event. We cross our fingers that Bafana Bafana doesn't go out. No, Bafana Bafana can't go out. But Honourable Mackenzie, the approach...
Sorry, on the point of order, it can be a security picture of this.
The way we've approached our marketing, we're not saying it's foolproof, is that that's why we're not overemphasizing the purchase of tickets to purchase Bafana Bafana gates. We're trying to go all out to purchase stadiums and the groups and the games so that we try by all means to limit our risk in that likely event. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but in that unlikely event it happens. Really the impact, if they go out in the quarterfinals, at group stage, we should not have an impact because the groups are in the various cities. We should really see it in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. And one hopes that the diaspora, by that time, a lot of diaspora that sits in this country would have got into the mood. But I just think that the way we are going to be approaching our marketing going forward, we are really trying to inculcate this issue that if you're in Gombela, support the gays in Gombela. Rather, support Bafana Bafana as a South African, but in terms of buying your ticket, buy your local tickets. Bafana Bafana is never going to play in Gombela. It's never going to play in Rustenburg. It's never going to play in Nelson Mandela Bay. So those three, just concentrate on supporting those areas and concentrate less about, not saying as from an emotional, but from buying a ticket perspective, that's our approach to that. And we hope that's going to be a successful formula for us, that event. Obviously, if we get affected, the quarterfinal, which is in Durban, the semifinal in Durban, maybe the affected ones. But generally, we've also proved in the past that Durban, people tend to support football. So we think that that pool, irrespective, because that will be the affected area, will carry us through. Gombela will carry the quarterfinal and semifinal. Anyway, our marketing must address that. And then obviously our school will be at the final. But we think it will be exciting anyway for people of Johannesburg. It should be full.
The issue of budget.
Here on the market it can sound very high, I agree. But remember, this budget is not for the head office. It's the head office plus five provincial teams of about 15 to 20 people to help us. Well, we don't want, again, to have this wisdom, that every wisdom sits in Johannesburg. So it is really a budget of about 150 staff members. And again, let's compare it in perspective, because we can say it's quite a lot of people. When you talk of the World Cup, these figures are nowhere close to that. I mean, the LOC on its own had about, what, 300-400 people besides FIFA people. Because the other, just to add a little bit, unlike the World Cup, where FIFA came here for 3 years with a full staff complement and said and put in more during the tournament, CAF does not work like that. You run the tournament yourself on your own. They will arrive here around about the 10th or 11th of January. So really, it's these 150 people are the people that must run the tournament in the five cities. So yes, we can obviously, without disclosing the salaries of individuals, we can show you how we've come to those figures. And we've benchmarked around, 2010 we've benchmarked it around what you can afford. So yes, it may sound like a lot of money, it's an annual budget and projections, but we've really kept it very tight in terms of making sure. In fact, if it was not because we've got the intents in our place, this budget would have been higher. Because this 38, by the way, do include the intense budget as well. That's funded by the CAF City and CAF City. It's not only just money that's coming from us. Okay. Yes, just let me just explain that 205. The 205 is made of two components. There is 83 million rands, which is the direct government grant that comes to us at the AOC. There is 18.5 million rands to the Department of Arts and Culture for the opening and closing ceremonies. Then there is 97 million rands, which is what national government is giving to the cities, which the cities are going to make a direct, not contribution sense of cash, but it's the amount where they alleviate the direct tournament operations like accommodation and so on. That is above what they need to do as cities in terms of their own security, health requirements in the city, etc., whatever they would normally do for the event, metro police, etc. That's separate from this. We know that they've been given additional funding from government for that particular purpose, but I don't have the figures of what has been allocated by National Treasury direct to the cities and provinces. But this amount is only the amount where they assist directly the LOC in terms of tournament operations, not in terms of their own operations. And it excludes whatever else, for example, the national departments, what they will do to execute, like security and so on and so on. This is just the amount that comes to us.
Thank you, Chair. I would also like to share the sentiments of my colleagues. about the documents, sir. And I think Honorable Nonkonyani should know better as a member of parliament. And furthermore, Chair, you know, recently we had a Paralympic team that did so well at the Paralympic Games. And when you look at this committee, you ask yourself, where are people with disabilities? Because I believe that as South Africans, we need to reflect who we are to the world. That's my first question. My second question is, if you look under the summary budget here, there is a surplus of 534 million. So I would like to know, in case they run at a loss, who is going to pay this amount? Thank you very much.
Chairperson, yes. Now, Cathy's going to give us some money, 32 million. Now, the question is, and my experience with FIFA scares me when it comes to people, these countries or whoever it is, bodies giving money to South Africa. You know and I know how long we had to wait for the money from FIFA. My question to you is, have they paid this money already, or are we still waiting on this money? That's the first question. Secondly, Chairperson, with the FIFA money we bought buses and cars, and now we must transport, and I know that in Port Elizabeth, those buses are standing somewhere in a shelter. He's sheltered somewhere, he's stored somewhere. That is Port Elizabeth. I know it's happening throughout the country. Now, to transport these teams and people, can't we use that as a, you know, as a way of transporting our hits or players or whoever? Because at the end of the day, Chairperson, I do not, and here I want to touch on the security aspect of it. The other evening we had a concert here, Chairperson, at the waterfront. And I don't know how that concert was arranged, but the scaffolding fell in, people were killed, a person was killed, and many injured, Chairperson. You know, and when that happened, I thought, here, what will happen if people from Africa come here and they are killed here because we are not weary enough, sort of? I'm glad that I heard that, you know, that is covered, but we can't be sort of careful enough. Therefore, we must be sure when we transport our guests, we'll call them foreigners, our guests, we must make sure that they are safe. Yeah, I know how you laugh, but I have a way of using words. Then, so to me, Chairperson, really, how we are going to make sure that CAF will really, what they undertook to do, whether they will really do what they promised. Lastly, Chairperson, not lastly, but we were all told that we are going to visit the venues. I think there was a promise from somewhere. Now, the venues where we all, a center or somewhere, lastly, it was said just now that we are going to visit this. We will take you there. And if you tell me we will take you there, then I want to go there. Really, I want to go see. Yeah. So I want to go and see these things, Chairperson, just to make sure, not that we don't trust you. No, because we want to make doubly sure that this person, everything is in place. When we ran the World Cup, we visited all the venues more than once. Now, if we do that for the world, why can't we do that for Africa and for ourselves? To make sure that everything is properly done. No, Chairperson, I'm on my way. I'm on my way to Port Elizabeth now. And I am going to Zwede Stadium this afternoon. And I'll phone you home. Just to go and see really what is happening there. And good, we were there, yeah. But at the time they didn't even speak about this. It wasn't even mentioned in on our own we went there to go and have a look what is happening there. That's a sports field. Not at an upgraded soccer field for this purpose. We went there out of our own. And at the meetings they never spoke about upgrading this place, or they were busy upgrading it, and it wasn't long ago given. They weren't busy. So I just want to go and have a look, and then I'll give you a read, and tell you what is happening here. No, they will let the buses up.
Honorable Lee, you will be the zone government committee. Therefore, I wanted to make a point.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for reading this thing of reading and receiving, and I don't know what I must do in there. I check my glasses. You know, there's one thing about sports people. There are a lot of surprises. We don't want to hear that there's a bonus of 7 million per person. That is ridiculous. That money must go for development. And that's why we want you to give us a breakdown on this university, so that when you come back and we are ahead, we can say that this is what you said. This is going to happen. If I have to say that what Nkonyang said zero, then I must say it is not zero. So there must not be a surprise.
No, but
it's case on the way.
No. Because therefore you can lose the membership.
No, this is a zero now, but it said we don't know at the end of last year what can happen. Now, the other issue, Chair. You know, 2009 I was invited by Poland Athletics. When I arrived there, there was a lot of mamas, but the executive was just a boys' choir. And it was only colored men. There were mamas, African mamas, white mamas, and white people. And I asked them, why do you elect only these people? Why can't you nominate somebody else who is the same sex? But, and I said to them, I won't come here again and see the very same thing. But really, because I said to them, if there are no Africans, then I can go and look for Africans in that room. If there are no Africans, I can go there to this colored area there and get an African. When I came back, there was this balance. You see, sir, this is not being taken seriously. When we were at this thing at the transformation of rugby, the same happened there. But there is a female rugby, professional, and even the national team. But when you look at the negatives of these federations, it changes. And it's not healthy. You must give them a chance. They were given chances. And they were given certain chances until they were perfect. So females must also be given the chance to use the deserve. The issue of private sector was not touched. I asked the permission from private sector and nothing was done. The issue of the Saudi countries, how are they going to benefit? This thing that we are being received as the bully Buddhists in South Africa, really, we must think that way. If you say that the bank is a static end, then the outcomes of the target must not change. When we went to Odis visit, I saw a nice legacy of IFA at Usinga. That was, and you can see it. What legacy we see for rural areas of Mangama that will take us out of this project? This is an emergency. And then the Central African, this is a rural. I don't want to talk about there where I come from. Dr. Abhi knows he's got a lot of sleep there. So we must get some things there. And really, I want us to deal with these things really, really openly, so that we know that we understand we're all the same from this thing. And let us address them. Because I am going to hammer and hammer on them until you no more vote for them to come back to Parliament. But rather, I am going to hammer on them. Thank you. I don't want to talk about the issue of Bafana Bafana, because that's another one. Thank you.
Honourable Sinani, yes, it is a type in terms of what you have raised on the map that Rassenberg has prioritized. Honourable Kora, I put that slide there, and there is the sponsorship amounts that you expect from the private sector, 15.5 million rands, and then in the commercial, the 62.5 of that, there's an element of about 5 million rands for commercial hospitality, where we expect the commercial sector to buy a commercial package. Then there was the issue of CAF contribution. Yes, who will collect this cash from CAF. The advantage we have is that there are quick controls on this. They owe us money, we owe them money. So what we're doing is to make sure that there might be difference that legal amount, but I think the systems have got in place. I've got no doubts. I mean, there's no reason. Let me just put that on record so that it's not misunderstood. It's not because of that we have done that. I've not had reason to believe, as the chief has said, that I also serve in my other capacity as Secretary-General of Council of Ministers. I put no doubt on the integrity of CAF and how I've interacted with them in the last 9 months. That they have met every single obligation on their part. So I don't doubt that even if we didn't have a people code, that they were going to pay the money timely. So I just want to put that on record. But anyway, I think that it's not a matter of question. They've given up letters and everything that they've said they will do, they've done on time, every time they have to make the applications. So I've got no doubt about that. No, I'll address this one. You'll address where the bus, why the bus are standing here. So I was not there at FIFA. I'm going to address the issue of whether we're going to use them. The answer is yes. One of the things we're negotiating with SAFA around is the utilization as a primary transport system. All the bus and cars that were used during the World Cup, that were bought after the World Cup, that they'll be used as one of the components of our transport system during the tournament. In terms of the security, no, I think can make a comment, but in fact it's one area that when it happened, the net drugs, they addressed it. But I'm sure Luke can go into detail about it before I go to the other issues. No?
Yes, indeed. Members may recall that the first set of regulations.
I'm coming to that.
I also wanted to say that members may recall that the first set of regulations of the Safety Escort and Recreational Event Act was about infrastructure. That a stadium should not host events unless it meets minimum requirements for safety certification. And we have interacted with the state about that. And luckily, all of the facilities that were are relatively new or recently renovated, such that they meet the minimum requirement. Then the Act goes into detail on how we need to set up new and temporary structures and ensure that they are certificated. The NADOINS, as the CEO was saying, emphasized this money to all the host cities and in fact directed the National Disaster Management Center to set standards to ensure that the incidents that we've had similar to the ones that the honourable member was referring to are avoided at all costs. And we are happy that in the events that we've held so far, including the finals in Devon, there were rigorous tests about rigorous tests of the facilities that we're using, like the stage, scaffolding, and all of those structures. And we're very happy with the support that we received from government at national level and also at the whole city level to ensure that we are in full compliance and we ensure the safety of the people.
Just to add on that, Honorable Lee, in Durban, France, there's a very interesting thing. I arrived to go and inspect the stage on Sunday. I was told by the police, you are not working there, there's no engineering certificate. I said, no, I just want to check. I said, no, CEO, you are not working on that stage until the engineering certificate, even if they just to check the stage. So that's how good as they've been. In fact, it's an area that even now we've set around, we're raising this because Honorable Members of Parliament, when you start saying no, they will think we're being difficult in AFCON. We've asked all cities hosting and hosting to submit their application for PVAs and fan parks. We have not received none. We have given them an extended deadline to Friday. We have said, whether you did it during 2010 or not, we want you to apply, so networks must go and check, do the test so that you don't have similar problems. If people don't submit on Friday, the answer is going to be no. We are not going to shift the deadline again. It is going to be unfortunate that the work communities may be denied or townships may be denied just because cities and provinces have not applied through the proper process, because we are not going to take the risk around this particular matter. The surplus issue, it's not 534 million, it's 534,000 rands. Just before you leave, Honorable Lee, that we will also inform our head of provincial to make sure that when we get there, they are ready for you. And we also want to get the port, because when you're sitting in Joburg and you're getting reports from people in provinces, they say, oh, don't worry, things are fine, but it's not fine. So really, we would really appreciate that. Honorable members must remember that after the tournament called AFCON, slept to host CHAN, if you remember, we did raise that. Any surplus first and foremost that comes out of AFCON will have to be used for the hosting of that tournament. So really, we cannot talk of surplus at this stage until we finish hosting the tournaments, and only then can the surplus be dealt with by the shareholder in terms of how to do that. And then the issue of the legacy, I think the chief will add more, but since it's a legacy trust. I think I just want Honorable Cora, you share my same sentiments, but I don't want the CEO to promise things. At this stage, you can see our budget is very tight. I don't want to say there will be profits, these profits will be utilized for building facilities. I would rather talk about that when the profits are there than promise profits and that this money will be utilized to build all these things. And we know at this stage we are really on a tight budget. I hope I've answered anything.
That's the concern, sir.
Yes.
My concern is in terms of a loss, who is going actually to be paying this surplus? Is it government or is there anybody who's going to help you pay the surplus in case you lose? Where is the money going to come from?
Oh, thanks, Honorable Member. I didn't understand that. I think, I don't know how to answer this because my chairman is here. I always say to them, a bad CEO answers the question of a loss. That's a bad CEO. They've got a budget, their job as a CEO is to manage your expenditure according to what you've been given. That's the budget approved by the board. The board must make sure that I manage the budget according to this. I cannot start, because once I start creating that impression, that I'm allowing for room for losses and so on, I create a bad impression for staff. That there's a room that in case you lose money, there's somebody who are going to ask for someone to replenish. And so I'm not answering it deliberately. I'm not, because I think it would be a wrong message for the media, see, that tomorrow my staff hears that in case there's a loss, staff or government is going to come and bail out. No, that's a bad CEO. My job is to manage the budget according to this budget and create a surplus of 534,000.
And sir, just to conclude.
Thanks, Chair. The, just want to know who did the selections of the towns or the cities, because coming from Mklanga, gentlemen, I see that we've got two or four in the Durban region, so obviously someone is smart in your team to choose Mklanga. I'm sorry it wasn't all four. We could have had all four teams in Mklanga.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to conclude on this surplus issue and loss issue. by indicating that the LOC is a legal entity on its own. It cannot rely on any other people. If it's bankrupt, it's bankrupt on its own. It's not bailed out by any other people outside there. You can agree with this point here. We are not going to be immune about any losses. But just to conclude, Chair, there was an issue brought by Honorable Sinane around relaxation of certain stringent requirements that some of our people experienced during the 2010s. I think he had dealt with that. But I wanted just to come on the issue of our own mothers who are selling there by indicating then that we did intervene then. And even now, we would like them to benefit. But in no way will it mean, therefore, that they must actually lower the standard, good instead of the health standard and everything. And again, we have to assist them to understand ambush marketing issues, so that no other people come through them and then try and frustrate our own agreement with our commercial partners in that regard. But I think I've highlighted the point so that the CEO, we will really make sure that we deal with that matter now. The Honorable Mutabi, I think, on the question of the people with disabilities, I think we made the point, and we agree with you. I mean, we must open up opportunity for any people, particularly those people. And I think all I can say now, I think the point is made. I've highlighted it. I think this is the matter that we must just be alive as a board members, as well, of course, as management, to make sure that those people are not unfairly discriminated against. Then I think the Honorable Lee has made a point, Honorable Members, to all of you and everybody else. And I'm very, very pleased about that, because I think you are taking your responsibility seriously, being oversight. And that in all those things that I've given you, you can even share with your colleagues in other constituencies to monitor on our behalf, bring it to the office of the CEO for attention for that anytime. I think because this is ours, this project, we have appointed the President of the Republic, the chief patron of it, which means it is the project for the people of South Africa, all of them. So we can ill afford to fail. Hence, I'm very, very pleased about that no member of parliament, whether it is in one of the cities or not nearby, they will be able on their own go there and give us the reports. And lastly, Chair, I must thank you, Chair, and the members for the manner in which we have collaborated with our report. And I hope you've accepted our apology. And because the point has been correctly made, we did concede about that. Because we are your subject, as it were, and we are accountable to you. If I say sorry, we hope to find in your heart to accept that because it is genuine and you will never be repeated again. And so we want to thank you very much for this. And if there is any other supplementary information in terms of breakdown, as there was indication, please feel free to mark the transcript so that at least what we present to you, you can be able to take up by way of a documentation. And then you can raise with us. I think the Secretary of Parliament of the committee knows our address, contact details. And to you, Chair, feel free to send her your secretary to us, and we'll be able to oblige. And then the other point that I think I must clarify, unfortunately, the absence of Honorable Lee. There are no buses that are idling in B. from the 2010 legacy or any other legacy. Now, but the point is that there are buses that were SAFA head office, and SAFA has taken a decision to follow the legacy to side countries, and they've just taken them. The others, of course, have been sold, and those that have not been sold naturally there is a proposal for us to use them in the outcome, so that at least we can minimize on the costs around the issues. But certainly, if there are any other buses that are in ours, in PE or any other city, please let us know. we'll go and fetch them because we're not aware. Thank you very much. Yeah. And then thank you, Chair. And as the Chair and the Whip and all the members, but will be led by you. Please don't forget all the time, if you get an opportunity, that AFCON Yeyedu, and that must be led by you. And the members will then follow you, so that everybody really understands that we can dare not fail this country, not continent. Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Member, for everything. And well, unless there's any other thing, I will have to give you, Chair.
No, I think also we must go and look for this person. There may be some buses really somewhere. Maybe the lead of this bus is, I think, the chapter somewhere. We shouldn't hide them. I think we must have it too often. We are confident about that. We know that. We are going to play for a first class tournament. It shouldn't be anything less than what you do, but then what's not going on forward now. And then CEO, I think very soon we must feel the vibe. And then because it's so quiet generally at the moment. Of course you have the budget to time, all that, but generally I think we should now get vibe. Given that we are South Africans in December, January, generally, we are very quiet. And then the games are starting in tomorrow. And then the library will be very important. It will be unfortunate that then you have to go to school and bring children there before they are empty. And then children there to the school and then to stay down before they are empty. I don't think we should do that really. It's just important that you organize it correctly. And then you represent us there in terms of organizing. As you said, I should be relatively full. And then should be meaningful, really. It's very strange, though, when what is the European League, when they play, the entire continent is quiet. Yeah. But when AFCON plays, no one cares about it. Of course, for the first time, I think the European team are much more interested in this one. But I do think that we must, really, as you are saying, we want to plant the SAFA. And there is no reason why our continent really decided that we produce so many players. I'm mindful of course that all these players are from the western part of Africa. And outside, I think we are starting to be difficult in Kenya to produce world-class players at the moment. I think it's a problem. And there's very little we have missed now in the southern part of our continent. But in the western part of the continent, very good players. There are all of them from Ivory Coast and Accra. I think they're very good players. I think we should learn from them. One day we should also have one player of note from Zimbabwe. I'm not sure they are going to play. Generally, they must be having people somewhere in Zimbabwe. And so that really organize something that all of us will be proud of. And I think when we meet next year, when you give us reports sometime next year, you should be able to assist us really to be proud of the organization. At this World Cup, there was enough time to prepare, I guess. And this one was 9 months when it was given to you because of Libyan clubs. We understand that. But because there are existing infrastructure, which is serious, I think we should organize. This is a very exciting. I think the Gabon and King, was it Gabon and King? I think they organized very, they organized themselves very well. They are very small countries compared to us, but they organized it very well. And also, Banyana played very well, despite the fact that we were defeated by Peter Afini. And but he played very well. We hope that the Baban and Kosi, they all let us down. They all let us down. There's no Spain in this.
then I think you won't let us down. I think really it would probably go far to it. But the leadership of Accra should assist to do so. Because the whole South Africa general will be much more happy when they see the national team perform. Because they would be filled by South Africans, really. Because a lot of Nigerians in pro job, and I think they'll go there in large numbers or so. For the likes of, I think general, we must organize it very well. And we are confident that we are going to organize it very well. The CEO won't plan for a loss, plan for profit. And hopefully then we are going to have legacy projects. The World Cup one anyway, it's all true that we are all very excited. It was the Western Area one and one in Singa. Because even in Singa, really, I think it's accommodating about 500,000 people in terms of the ship changes, the fight. It's not a partition, but I think it's a fact. Hopefully then we will host the Champions League, all that. You'll be able to assist us to our transition. But I think there must be a vibe as CEO in all feet now. AEH is a figure. At the moment, really, it's quiet. Generally quiet. Because I'm not visiting each and every part of the country. But each one is there, relatively very quiet. If each one is there, so it will be relatively quiet. Not because I'm in Kushu, not it should be quiet. I'm saying, of course, where areas are in terms of the vibrant of thing and the start moving on that, I think it's important because we don't have time. And once you have holidays in December, we even forget about it, many of us, you know. I think we might work it out in a manner that is proven. You should, because around here, from time to time, we are going to ask you to assist us to understand the issues. But also the CEO is open. I think security, well experienced on this thing of handling the World Cup. You've been always in red, but you have handled the World Cup. You can't handle it. Apple. With those experience, you can't survive. I think they said, at least should be full, really. The market is that one. Because it can't be right when things play, all of us, you understand. When Nigeria plays 200 people, you understand. It has an average of cosmos. Sometimes some of you are seeing really the Papa team. When they play, it will be about 200 people in the stadium. And then they can't be viable, those large generals. I think we need to work it out because you know that we've never had some of those issues. Hopefully next year, I think we'll still be here. It was 2014, it's another year. And therefore, we should be able to address some of these challenges that are facing. Hopefully also, so after we have done this one, you'll also be privileged to come before us just to assist us. The role that we have played yourself in terms of setting up the principles for transformation. Because I do think, though, that we need to assess all of us collectively. 20 years down the line, what is it difficult still to transform sport? And then we must attend the thing called social in South and South, giving the presence of the symmetry of the before that call. In other words, those information will be very important for us. But I think this committee, member of parliament, must be assisted on us. The 20 years down the line, 1992-2012, 20 years down the line, and able to produce well-class players in other sporting codes. Even soccer going down anyway, in terms of players, you know, quality players. That's why we don't go to stadium meaningful. Not because of super sport. It's just the general things that not organized well. then you will take us just to produce players of world class. If we move in this pace, we take us 100 years to produce 10 players, general. You can't buy it. And then I think next year Mackenzie Rabbi itself must appear here. Just to assess with that, 20 years ago, this is what we agreed on. What went wrong? Because there's something profoundly wrong with it. Because we should have produced a number of players now. Mancini comes after 10 years, disappears. We never had another Mancini, another 20 years. But we want to perform sport. I think we must do this issue here. And then Rabbi, cricket, athletics, swimming, boxing, of course, boxing really boxing. But I think that the problem that you must address all of. And in 20 years, I think it's not a great time for us to assess
what went wrong. Because the transformation is painfully slow. Painfully slow. There's no code that we have transforming my vision. All of them, they have a very good plan, but each other has a ground in mind. And that is not push things here. I said, well, it's in our interest for all of us to adopt the transformation process. God has become a very big industry. And also, it really becomes a very important international relations, etc. I think we should work out in the next year, of course, before we go to our strategic plan, we should go to our information on top and tell us, they must give us a real report about the last year. Because they set up very good programs of transformation. They can't say they can't find five players in South Africa. 55 million people share the state. We can't even have one player. Every player goes there, play for 2 years, disappears forever. Disappears forever. They can't come wrong. The way we are waiting, I think, to go for yourself and with you. We must sit down next year. And then if you know for Yanima must appear, tell us what is happening in football. And football, where's that happening with football generally? And let alone 10 million rand in quality of life. That's what I'm talking about. Because if we don't change things, I think we won't transform this problem. And then all of us, we are pretenders, we are transformation. I don't know transformation. They only raise this issue for when there's an election, cricket team, or rugby team, it's addressed in transformation. And they're like, to be a systematic program. All of us, we are convinced that. And then Lucas had the best man, 1,000 of them, Cosima Ponyan, Kelele, and other people who used to play, it's really a soccer. Now really, that's the issue. There's a story of general program. Rugby is in that one. Cricket is in that one. We only talked about rugby transformation when they go to London or Ireland. 3 years now, we must sit down and say what went wrong, and we must fix it. Those kind of members of parliament, what we want to hear, you know, percent, I guess. Those things are realigning, politics is realigning. We won't be here. So therefore, we must lay a very firm foundation for our Congress to come. It doesn't affect us to shout every time, right? It doesn't appoint one person. But we have never affected this 20 years back. And of course, I'm told I think 8 years, Europe one day. But what happened with all this there? Mackenzie, I know that you are a man of you work very well in charts. I think we'll assist us to come. But my view is that we have to level again another 3 years. Take us 4 years to produce one player. 3 years. One player, 20 years. He plays only 2 years, he disappears forever. And I follow that we do the same. Let us be work on this. And the next day let us work on this policy and really help you bring focus to us. Apply your mind of transformation and so on. All of us must apply our mind of transformation for the leadership design must apply their mind. Members of parliament must apply their mind. We shouldn't do hit and run every time there's a machine that goes to London that raises issues. We must now apply for a decision. It's really my appeal because I think we're moving on. When I was young, I was told that what is the easiest thing to transform. But now I'm a man. I can transform. That I think is a problem. Of course, we are AA2, we can't be a general. And then all of us, we are aware of that. We must work on it. And then, organizing team, don't let us down. As you appear next day, February, to give us the report, it should be a very good report for us. That would make all of us as North Africans very proud of the good job that we are doing. I think that's what we should do. I think we shouldn't be really messing up things. I think we should focus on real issues and start moving as an organization, particularly parliament. Thank you very much for that, and I think if the tea outside, you are still invited to take tea. And thank you very much for having me. I think you should address it.
Cheers. Thank you.